We're now having our reading from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
A bit of a reflection on this passage. I'm sure we're all very used to it, and there's certain characters in there. As Sally says, I like to be interactive sometimes, so can you name some of the characters you've just heard about? Priest? Levite? Robbers? Yeah, there. Sorry? Who? The man who was attacked? Yeah? Sorry. Innkeeper, yeah. Yeah. Okay. You all missed out my favourite character, the donkey. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you had a donkey there. Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that. Yeah. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is given by Jesus in answer to a lawyer or a scribe. And this comes in Luke after, well, it's after the 72 have been sent out. But actually it says on one occasion. So we don't know if it was literally just after that or it was thrown in, recorded at that point in Luke's gospel. So the lawyer would have been an expert in Mosaic law. So don't think of your local lawyer. This was specifically about the law the Jews held. And when you think back to the, really going back to Moses, Sinai, and then the books of the law, the Torah, if you read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and I'm sure some of you had, because well into the year now, if you're reading the Bible in a year, then that's about how far you would have got. And interestingly, I'm doing that, and it's about this stage I've got to. And actually recently covered this bit, so it's quite interesting. The lawyer's question was, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And this question gave Jesus the opportunity to define what his disciples, and us of course, what our relationship should be with our neighbours. The question might have been given as a test by the lawyer at that stage. I'm not sure in his ministry where it comes, but we're very aware that later on in his ministry, the scribes and Pharisees were setting out to trap him. So this could be a person who was just simply looking to inquire a bit more and sort of sussing out Jesus and where he stood. But the wording, the question, does give us some insight as to where the scribe was spiritually. He was making the assumption that I must do something to obtain eternal life. And I think this can be a common misconception, that we can work our way to heaven. You know, if I go to church regularly on Sundays, if I do this, that or other, including good works to our neighbour, then I've got a ticket to heaven. But we know that it's by faith and trust in Jesus that we can have the assurance rather than doing. Jesus did it for us. We need to balance faith and works, faith and action. And in Ephesians we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't your own doing, it's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that you can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them." And also James, I mean, there's many other references. "So also by faith itself, it does not have works. If it does not have works, is dead." So you need faith and works, and the balance for us as Christians working out our lives is how we balance those two. So although this meeting between Jesus and the lawyer could have been an opportunity for Jesus to discuss salvation or how we are saved, Jesus actually chooses a slightly different way of approaching it. And he talks more about relationships, and that's what this story is about, his parable. And Jesus answers the question with a question. I think they call this the Socratic method. I'm not sure how many of you use that when you've been asked an awkward question. Try asking them a question and put the weight on them. So Jesus says, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And by referring to the law, Jesus is directing the man to the authority of the Old Testament, or the Torah, our Old Testament. And so they would both be expecting or seeing common ground. So it's almost as if both of them come out of the situation and look at the Bible, the Old Testament. And so they can both look at authority at a higher level rather than being sort of argy-bargy between them. They can both say, well, what does it say there? And I think that can take the heat out of it. I wonder if we do that in discussions with other people. Perhaps we get on our high horse and my view, your view. But maybe we need to look to higher authorities. We really need to listen to what is common ground between us. If you're aware of someone's situation, what do you have in common with them? Perhaps you have sport or something else. Maybe you can deflect attention onto that and work from common ground in order to have a discussion, talk with them. So Jesus avoids an argument and puts himself in the position of evaluating what the scribe's answer is. And this really is Jesus' intention. It's really putting what Jesus had on his heart and what lessons he wanted. Who is my neighbour? And the scribe answers Jesus' questions by quoting from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." This sort of section, if you like, of the Old Testament is called the Shema, or Shema, I'm no linguist. But it's a Jewish prayer that affirms the belief in one God, and it's a core part of Jewish worship, even to this day. And it's recited every morning and evening, and often Jews would put this written out in a little box by the door, and they would touch it as they go out and come in. And really, it's based on the first three of the Ten Commandments. And if you look into it, you should have no other gods before me, make no idols, and don't take God's name in vain. And so they would say the Shema, often said while standing. Some people would kiss their fingers as they touched the box. And so it would have been very formative in Jesus' young life and throughout his upbringing, as well as for the scribe. So, yes, Jesus affirms the lawyer's answer that it is correct, and he's given the orthodox answer. But then he goes on in verse 28 of Luke to say that this kind of love requires more than emotional feeling. It needs practice. So, in other words, we need to practice what we preach. The scribe was an educated man and realized he couldn't possibly keep the law. Nor he might not have wanted to anyway, because sometimes we only follow what's convenient. There's always people in life that he couldn't love. Same is probably true for us. Do we like people? Do we love them? That raises questions. And thus the scribe tries to limit what's going on, and he says, well, who is my neighbour? And of course, neighbours are a very interesting point at that stage. If you go back to Israel at that time, and I believe neighbour in Greek means someone who is near. In Hebrew it means someone that you have an association with. And of course, some of these groups stick and only associate with certain sections. And as we look on that society, they would look down on Samaritans, they would look down on the Romans, in fact, any foreigner, any people who are different to them. So maybe the lawyer was trying to limit what his response should be. And so he tells the story, the parable of a man travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is a very treacherous, or was in those days. Today it's a nice road. And looking on the map, it's about 40 kilometres, and you go from Jerusalem, which is about 2,500 feet above sea level, to one of the lowest points on earth, Jericho, 800 and something feet below sea level. So it's a 3,500 foot drop in a short distance. And it went through what was Wadi Quiet, something like that. So robbers, quite likely it was a common event in those days. And Jesus knew that road. He'd been that way many times. And then, let's see where I've got to. Sometimes I go off piste. So the man travels. The next character Jesus introduced is the priest. Jesus doesn't spend time describing the priest, what he does, only that how he showed no love or compassion as he passed by on the other side. And you would expect a priest to be the one person who would A, know God's law, and B, obey it, and would react. By nature of his position, he should be that person of compassion. Unfortunately, love was not a word for him that required action on the behalf of someone else. The next person to pass by is the Levite. He does exactly the same thing. Again, he would have known the law, but also failed to show the injured man any compassion. And the next person to come by is a Samaritan. We don't know if the injured person was Jew, Greek, Roman. Jesus doesn't say. But the Samaritan responds and is likely the one least likely, certainly in the eyes of the Jew, to be responsive. They were considered a lower class of people since they'd intermarried with non-Jews and didn't keep the law. The thought of the Samaritans and being a sort of downcast sort of brought my mind back to recently when we were thinking about Christmas and how the shepherds were looked down. They were the lowest members of society and yet God really blessed them. The good Samaritan saw only a person in dire need of assistance, above and beyond what the minimum requires. He dresses the wounds with oil to soothe the pain and wine to disinfect the wounds. And he puts the man on his donkey and takes him to an inn so that there's time for healing and pays him money. So he goes beyond common decency and tells the innkeeper to take good care of the man and he would pay extra on his return. The Samaritan saw anyone in need as his neighbour. Jesus is drawing on a strong contrast between those who knew the law and those who actually followed the law in their lifestyle and conduct. And Jesus asked the lawyer if he can apply the lesson to his own life. So which of the three do you think was the neighbor? And again, the lawyer's answer, very lawyerly, I think. He can't bring himself to say the words Samaritan. He just refers to the good man. Again, the prejudice, sort of hint of it there, that he can't say Samaritan even. So Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. In other words, he should start living as the law says. And by ending the encounter this way, Jesus is telling us to follow the Samaritan's example in our own conduct. We're to show compassion and love for those we encounter in our everyday activities. So that's regardless of race, religion, or anything you feel that separates you or different to you. This is an impossible obligation for the lawyer and also for us actually. We can't always keep the law because of our human condition. Our hearts and desires are mostly of self and selfishness. That's almost the default. And when we're left on our own, we fail to meet the law. We can hope the lawyer saw this at the time, we don't know, and came to realize that there was nothing he could do to justify himself. What he needed was a personal savior to atone or to pay for his lack of ability to save himself from his sins. So just a few lessons. One, we're called to active intervention, actively love, being generous to those who need it. Our neighbour is anyone we encounter. We are all creatures of the Creator. And we're called to love all mankind, as Jesus taught. We need to overcome prejudice in all its forms. Don't let our bias stop us from helping others. Keeping the law in its entirety with the intent to save ourselves is an impossible task. We need a saviour, and this is Jesus. And coming out of this is teamwork, sort of surrounding this. So yes, my favourite, the donkey. But he needed the man to use the donkey, the equipment he had. And of course the innkeeper who he co-opted in. So let's use the assets, the contacts, the talents we have to work together to help those who need it. Amen.